Even though he was raised in busy West London, author Richard Grant was finding life in Manhattan to be too confining. At a friend's house party in the Mississippi Delta, he decided on a whim to buy an old farmhouse nearby and start a new chapter in his life. He writes about that in his 2016 book, Dispatches from Pluto. Richard recently spent the better part of a year downriver, getting acquainted with a sometimes eccentric cast of characters in historic and tourist-friendly Natchez. He found it's where the New South is having to confront its Confederate past. Today, Natchez is the kind of town where it's said even the liberals are well-armed. Richard introduces us to the stories that lie deep in the soil of Natchez in his latest book. It's called The Deepest South of All, True Stories from Natchez, Mississippi. Richard, it's good to talk with you again.
Hey, Rick, good to be back on the show.
So you're an Englishman, you lived in New York City, and then you settled in rural Mississippi. That's an amazing mix, Britain, New York, and the Mississippi Delta. Before we get deeper into Natchez, give us a quick comparison of these three worlds that you've lived through, and what do you enjoy most and what do you enjoy least about each of these?
I've always kind of been an outsider. I was actually born in Malaysia and then moved to London, England as a child. Mm-hmm. And was told that this was home, but it never really felt like home. I was just looking in from the outside, and that's kind of carried on. I lived in Arizona for a long time, then I moved to New York, and then everything was going badly for me in New York, and then I got invited to Mississippi and saw this old farmhouse, five-bedroom farmhouse on 12 acres, and it was for sale, and it was for $130,000, and decided to take the plunge with my girlfriend. And that farmhouse was in the Mississippi Delta. And while I was there, I got to hear about Natchez, which is a little bit south of the Delta in the southwest corner of Mississippi on the river. And I found out that Natchez had once had more millionaires per capita than anywhere else in America, that it had the second largest slave market in the South. It had voted not to secede in the Civil War and refused to fight the Civil War. Hmm. And then I got wind that there was this kind of eccentric high society taking place in the old mansions where people would dress up in hoop skirts and Confederate uniforms, which made it sound like a bastion of the old South. And then I found out that Natchez had voted for a gay black mayor with 91% of the vote. And I was like, well, what is this place? And how did it get this way?
So you decided to check it out and write the book.
So I started, well, I got a very good invitation, actually. There's a woman called Regina Charbonneau, who's a chef and a cookbook writer. And she's friends with the Rolling Stones and Lily Tomlin. And she used to have a club and a restaurant in San Francisco. Anyway, she's from Natchez and had moved back there, and she invited me to stay in her antebellum mansion, and that became my headquarters. She liked to tell people, yes, we keep an Englishman in the attic. Ah. I had this upstairs room. So she was a great entree to the kind of world of tuxedoed balls and cocktail parties. And then I also got to know there's a African-American man with an impossible name, but everyone calls him Sir Boxley. I got to be friends with him, and he's really kind of spearheaded this effort to make the town look at its history more honestly, to recognize that the town was built on slavery and to include black history in the experience that they market to tourists.
So it sounds like a fascinating divide between its white and black citizens and its modern outlook and its Confederate heritage.
Yeah, it's really just one contradiction after another.
It seems like in some ways the Confederacy still lives, and that's something that's perplexing, I think, to a lot of Americans, is the resilience of the, I don't know what you'd call it, but this Confederate pride.
Yeah, because there's also kind of a fake thing in Natchez, because, you know, Natchez voted not to secede and didn't fight with the Confederacy in the Civil War. Right. And then in the decades after the Civil War, it became swept up in this kind of lost cause mythology, and then kind of persuaded itself that it had been a staunch Confederate bastion. And then you have these ritualistic kind of theatrical plays there where they still dress up in Confederate officers' uniforms.
You talked about the lost cause theatrics?
Yeah, this was this, the South persuaded itself after the Civil War that the Civil War had just been about states' rights, and that the slaves had been happy and well fed, and that the war was not about slavery. And that kind of bundle of mythology is known in shorthand as the Lost Cause.
So now that must be the way decent people can be proud of their Confederate fight in the Civil War.
Yes, it's by no means a universal belief amongst white Southerners, but among those that do believe it, yeah, it turns the war into something noble rather than an effort to, well, they wanted to expand slavery.
Mm-hmm. This is Travel with Rick Steves. Richard Grant's our guest, and his book is The Deepest South of All, True Stories from Natchez, Mississippi. In his book, he introduces us to one of America's most unusual cities, even by Mississippi standards, and the people he got to know over a year of exploring their stories. His website is richardgrant.us. Richard, I want to get more into the culture and this interesting sort of contradiction in Natchez. But first of all, I want to talk about the town as a tourist town. If you're going there as a tourist, what are the things people want to do? What are the attractions from a tourism point of view?
Well, traditionally, tourism in Natchez has been on the kind of gone with the wind model. You go to visit the mansions. In the spring, there's something called pilgrimage, whereby the owners of the antebellum homes dress up in period costumes and invite you to tour their homes. Now, that's still going on, but in recent years, there's been a big push to also visit the site of the second largest slave market in the Deep South, a place called Forks in the Road, which is an interesting and spooky and upsetting place to visit.
There is a reassessment of our fascination with this charming antebellum culture, right? And today, a lot of people don't even want to watch Gone with the Wind because there's so much embrace of racism. Is that?
Yeah. I think that generation of tourists is starting to age out. And what you see in Natchez is a lot of Europeans that kind of do want the whole story.
Okay, you know, so you'll still have the tableaus, but it'll be more honest, showing the reality as well as the fantasy.
Right. I mean, the whole town was built on trafficking slaves and using enslaved labor in gigantic cotton plantations. And that's where all the beauty of the architecture comes from. But rather than covering that over, as they've done for a long time, the town is now assessing that more honestly. You can't go to Natchez as a tourist now and not hear the full history.
Boy, that's a big change, because I bet a generation ago you could go there and you could just think, oh, everything was just a tea party.
Yeah, I mean, the town's slogan used to be "Where the Old South Lives."
Huh. Richard, when we think of old Natchez, you learned a lot from finding these different sort of dimensions of the society, and you found these two aristocratic kind of garden clubs. It was an interesting way to get into the interracial complexities of it. You've got the Pilgrimage Garden Club and the Natchez Garden Club. Tell us about that.
Okay, so we got to go back to the early 1930s here, where there was one Natchez Garden Club, and it came up with the idea of opening up these old antebellum homes to tourists and charging them money. And it was a roaring success. People came from all over the country to tour these antebellum mansions in Natchez. Then the club started feuding, and they split into two clubs, and that feud between the two clubs is still going strong today. And they have sued each other, they've padlocked each other's homes, they've all sorts of scurrilous gossip has passed around the town, and you're kind of with one club or the other club, and they control most of the tourism in the antebellum homes in Natchez. It's got a very matriarchal aspect to it, Natchez. The town has always had sort of strong women in charge.
When I think about it from a tourism point of view, it's like not only going to a place that's far away, but it's like going to a place that's got one foot in its deep past in a world that you couldn't imagine lives today, and one foot in a very complicated but fluid kind of present.
Yeah. It's also got a large gay population. It's very, very tolerant when it comes to being gay, especially by Mississippi standards. I mean, the fact that Natchez voted in a gay black mayor with 91% of the vote is just, you tell that to other people in Mississippi and their jaw falls open.
Richard Grant explores the charm and contradictions of Natchez, Mississippi in his book, The Deepest South of All. Richard also won the Pat Conroy Southern Book Prize for his memoir, Dispatches from Pluto. It's about living in the Mississippi River Delta. We have links to Richard's website and his earlier appearances on Travel with Rick Steves at ricksteves.com/radio. Okay, let's say I'm on vacation. I can fly in and I got 2 days and three nights and Richard Grant's my tour guide and I read your book and I'm just fascinated by it and I want to see the touristy stuff, but I also want to get a little connection into the old Natchez you're talking about. What would we do in 2 days? What's our sightseeing agenda and who would you introduce me to?
Okay, well, sightseeing, I mean, the town itself, only 15,000 people now and used to be bigger, but it sits on this high bluff above the Mississippi River with just a breathtaking view. So you're definitely going to want to walk along the bluff and gaze out over the river. And that's, yeah, you'll look across the river and you see the flatlands of Louisiana where all the cotton plantations used to be that the Natchez built its wealth on. Mm-hmm. You're gonna want to hit a couple of, it has the most opulent antebellum mansions in the South. You're going to want to go to probably Stanton Hall, which is like walking into a time capsule of 1860. It occupies a whole city block and is, you know, not much shy of the White House when it comes to grandeur. And then you're going to want to go to Longwood, which is an octagonal mansion. It was being built during the Civil War and the workers fled. They hired workers from up north to build the thing, but they got scared of the war and they left and left all their tools behind. So it's unfinished and they've kept it unfinished. It's one of the garden clubs owns it and they have great guides who will just tell you crazy stories one after another about these mansions. So I would say, yeah, Stanton Hall and Longwood would be the homes to visit. You'd want to walk along the bluff and you want to visit the Forks in the Road slave market to see how all this grandeur and opulence was created. I would say you want to go to the African American History and Culture Museum. The black history in Natchez is particularly interesting. For example, during the Civil Rights era, they did not go for peaceful, nonviolent protests. They had an armed paramilitary group of activists called the Deacons for Defense, who succeeded in backing down the Klan and forcing the city to accept all their demands.
So you can learn about that at the African American History Museum?
Yeah.
Wow, I've never heard of that. Somebody who can stand up like in a let's brawl kind of way with the KKK.
Yeah, it was working class black men. A lot of them had been soldiers in World War II and they just rejected the idea of
That would be sort of a jolt
themselves
for the KKK. All of a sudden, somebody's hitting back.
It worked. It worked. Huh. The Klan backed off.
You know, when we think antebellum, that of course means from the culture before the Civil War, right?
Yes.
And that it survives. It survives 150 years later. It's sort of like miraculous that anything survives, considering all the change and all the devastation of that war and everything. But if you want to see antebellum, it sounds like Natchez is, with this strange wealth, with more millionaires per capita than any other city and with mansions that apparently rival the White House, it's quite an astounding attraction just from a straight sightseeing point of view. And then in the last generation, with all of the modern sensibility about racism and our national sort of struggle with racism, to have the dual narrative approach where you see the mansions and the plantation, you know, fantasy life and Gone with the Wind, and at the same time you see the slave markets and you learn about the realities. It sounds like you could do a whole college course on American history right there in Natchez.
I think so. Obviously, I became thoroughly interested in it, mm-hmm, to the point where I spent a couple of years there and wrote a book about it. But when I first went there, it seemed eccentric. It seemed like incredibly Southern in good ways and bad. And people are very gracious and hospitable and very funny storytellers. But then the more time I spent there, the more Natchez started to seem like a kind of microcosm of America when it comes to the legacy of slavery and race. It seemed like a kind of distillation of all America's conflicts and troubles around the topic of race. They're kind of distilled in a way in Natchez.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Richard Grant, and Richard is the author of The Deepest South of All, True Stories from Natchez, Mississippi. There's more about his work and travel articles he's written at his website. That's richardgrant.com. richard.us. Richard, if you think about, you've lived in New York. What do you think people from north of the Mason-Dixon line get wrong about a place like Natchez? What's going to just jolt us? What do we need to understand?
I don't think people up north understand how close black and white people are, how many close relationships, friendships, quasi-familial relationships happen between black and white. I mean, there was a woman in the book, she told me, she said, you know, there's white men down here who would take a bullet for their closest black friend, but they'd have also reached for their pistol if he tried to marry their sister.
Whoa,
so racism down there can be very close. Like, love can be a part of a relationship that also has prejudice in it. It's much more complicated than racism up north.
It's a brain twister, and the more you know about it, the more you want to know about it.
Or like a lot of these, you know, a lot, and the kind of well-to-do white people, you know, a lot of them had black women who sometimes nursed them and certainly raised them.
Right.
So you had these very, very close relationships that, you know, continued, but even though they were so close that they would be really awkward for them socially to eat dinner together at the same table.
Richard, our country is going through some amazing, just heartache, just grappling with the structural racism that we've accepted for so long. And now, you know, with all the demonstrations that are happening and so on, we're raising awareness of difficult realities. You've learned a lot in Natchez, and I would imagine as you've seen the demonstrations recently in our country, you must draw from your experience. What can your time in Natchez share with us to teach us in the rest of the country about racism?
Well, I mean, one thing about Natchez is that the link between race-based slavery before the Civil War and modern-day racism is just completely undeniable. You've got the slave markets there, you've got the mansions. You've also got black people, light-skinned black people, who can point at the white family who lightened their skin tone. It's like it's all on a kind of a micro level. Hmm. You know, American racism stems from the fact that race was used to justify American slavery. It all flows from that, and that becomes very, very clear in Natchez. And these conversations about race that are taking place now, finally, in the rest of the country, Natchez has been having those conversations quite intensively for the last 15, 20 years.
Richard Grant, thanks for writing The Deepest South of All and sharing lessons with us about these true stories from Natchez in Mississippi.
Come down and have a bowl of gumbo at Regina's Kitchen with me sometime.
I'm there. Thanks, Richard. There's more from Richard Grant on what he learned about Southern history in Natchez in an extra to today's show. You can hear it from the radio page of our website at ricksteves.com/radio. TV correspondent Connor Knighton tells us about his year exploring each one of America's national parks. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.